Welcome back for another special conversation. Thank you for tuning in to Parenting Special Needs Podcast. This is episode number 8. I'm your host, Shantae, and today I'm talking with Stephanie Keita, and she's going to tell us about surviving and living with a traumatic brain injury. Since March happens to be Brain Injury Awareness Month, I thought we should start with some statistics. Every 21 seconds, an infant, child, teenager, or adult in the U.S. sustains a traumatic brain injury. When you do the math, it means that each day, 4,100 individuals sustain a traumatic brain injury. 4,100. Brain injury has become a national epidemic. Traumatic brain injury is a major cause of death and disability in the United States. Those who survive a traumatic brain injury can face effects that last a few days, months, or the rest of their lives. Some of the effects of traumatic brain injury can include impaired thinking or memory, movement, sensation, such as vision and hearing, or emotional functioning, personality changes, and depression. These issues not only affect individuals, but can have lasting effects on families and communities. Traumatic brain injury and autism spectrum disorder share not only similar symptoms, but also some of the same biological mechanisms that cause these symptoms. Prominent symptoms for both disorders include gastrointestinal problems, learning difficulties, seizures, and sensory processing disruption. I mention these shared similar symptoms in order to raise awareness and understanding. Stephanie is going to share how she suffered a traumatic brain injury, and as she puts it, she is more than a brain injury survivor. She's a daughter, sister, a friend, and so much more. Welcome, Stephanie, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, as she said, and I sustained my traumatic brain injury when I was 13. Now I'm 27, so it's been 14 years, almost 15 years, and I was in a dirt bike accident with my friend. She jammed on her brakes in front of me, and I swerved out of the way and hit a telephone pole. I know you guys are thinking, wow, how come she didn't have a helmet on? But I did. So it was all internal. I didn't hit my head on anything. There's not a scratch, not a mark, nothing on the helmet actually itself. So it was like a shaken baby almost. And then they had to fly me to Orlando, and I had to have a piece of my skull removed and put in a freeze dryer for a couple weeks. And then while I was still in a coma there.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then my insides were all messed up too, and like my kidneys were messed up, I had a lacerated liver, and I broke my wrist and crushed my thumb, and like that's not all bad enough, but guess who landed a pile of fire ants?
Oh my gosh, not to just to top it off, huh?
Yeah.
Fire ants on top of everything.
Yeah.
So then you had bites everywhere?
Yeah. And then when I was laying there in a coma, they were all like going to quarantine me, because I thought I had some kind of infectious disease. My dad, who's a motorcycle mechanic, says, they look like fire ant bites. Sir, please, let me do my tests. And then after I do the test, they come back with the results. Oh, guess what? There's fire ant bites.
So what's it like now? Well, what was it like when you had to go back to school? That must have been tough.
Yeah, it was crazy because I was somebody who was very popular. I always had a boyfriend. I had lots of friends. I was very athletic. I was very good at school.
Plus you were 13.
Yeah. 13, so. Yeah. And so, but now all the kids, they were there for my parents when I was in the hospital. But then when I went back to school and they had to actually face me, they kind of just didn't say anything. And that was almost worse than if they had said the wrong thing, because then I would have at least been being acknowledged. Like, who likes to be ignored all the time?
So they just ignored you?
Yeah. Until I was in high school, then they actually made fun of me. Called me retarded and gimpy and all this stuff like that.
Shared with me what you shared when the one boy called you...
Oh, yeah, he was calling me gimpy every day at lunch. And there's no bullying policy at schools in Florida, but it's crap because nothing is ever done about anything until somebody kills themselves, and I wasn't going to kill myself. So he's calling me gimpy, yada, yada, yada. He's singing the song Walk It Out to me and stuff like that. And then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm just done with this. So then I turned around at him real quick and I yelled at him, no, I won't make out with you.
What did he say?
He was like, I don't want to make out with your ugly ass. And I was like, personally, I don't want to make out with my ass either, but it's okay. I got her a letter. It's very sweet, but no, I won't make out with you.
Oh my gosh.
And then he stopped.
He stopped saying stuff?
Yeah.
So that ended it?
Yeah. Because, like, sometimes it's almost like people just need to be shown that, like, people aren't going to back down and just, like, submit to that and be just let them be made fun of.
Oh, that's great.
And like me, if nobody else is going to stick up for me, I was going to stick up for myself.
Good for you. What do you wish people, well, what's it like now living with a traumatic brain injury?
Well, now, like, stuff is still harder for me. Like, the everyday thing is still harder for me. And you get very tired a lot when you have a brain injury. So that's something that people need to know, because it's not that people are making you up or trying to get out of stuff. Like, you're legit tired. Because it takes, so I heard one of my neuropsychologists say one time that, like, half an hour of just, like, concentration, like, really concentrating on, like, say, your schoolwork or something, is like somebody else concentrating for 4 hours, just like half an hour, 4 hours.
Wow. That's your brain doing the extra work. Wow, trying to pull it together.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. And do you have any other sensitivities or heightened awareness or anything else that came from having the...
Yes, I have, like, supersonic hearing, my parents call it.
Really?
Because, like, one time they were across the house watching TV, and I was in my room, half asleep, watching my TV. And I hear them with the remote. I'm pushing the back button. Why isn't it going back? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so I walked out there, and I'm like, you have to push this button. You have to push the previous button, not the back button.
So you were able to hear what was going on.
Yeah. Perfectly, huh? And they give me this look like, what?
What about sensory issues? Anything like that? Do you have sensitivities to noise or people or lights?
Yeah, noise. Noise, yes. That's the big thing that people need to understand, because... And my mom, she always says this to me. She's always like, well, we can't have the TV turned down because you have really good hearing. She's always like, we can't expect the rest of the world to fit into your brain-injured world. And that is something I hate when she says that to me, because I don't expect the rest of the world to fit into my brain-injured world. But she shouldn't expect the rest of the world to fit into her not being able to hear anything world.
You crack me up. What do you wish people knew about traumatic brain injury?
That, like, it's not a character flaw. And, like, if somebody with their brain injury, like, when I get tired, people sometimes get irritated with me. Or when I get overwhelmed, people get irritated with me. But it's not something I'm making up. It's not something that I wish happened to me. Mm. And people have said to me a couple times, oh, well, you enjoy having brain injury. You know, I do not enjoy having brain injury. And nobody who has a brain injury enjoys having brain injury. It's just something that happened. It's not something that I chose. It's not something that I wanted to happen. It's not something that I had in the plan for my life.
I know when we were speaking before, you had mentioned something about, like, certain things you can remember and certain things you can't. So you can recall certain things from before the injury and certain things not so easily after the injury, like short-term memories.
Yeah, like short-term stuff. Like, I can tell you, like, here's a perfect example. When I was first came out of the hospital and I had a homebound teacher, and then she came and she taught me some stuff. But then the next time she came, like in a couple week, the next week or something, she came back and she was like, so do you remember this stuff? And I did. I remembered it. Mm. And it was like, it was history stuff, and history classes repeat each other every couple years in school. Mm. So, and then my mom was like, they were like, oh my God, that's so good that you remember that from the other day. And I was like, I remember that from like second grade.
Oh, so it wasn't from the...
It wasn't from the other day. It was from, like, second or third grade.
Wow, so you just were recalling it from then.
Yeah.
And I know you had mentioned something. I thought this was interesting, so I want to bring it up about certain smells. What can you tell?
Yeah, a lot of people, when they get brain injuries, they lose their scent, their olfactory sense, which is your sense of smell. But a lot of times when they don't, and, like, they smell something that was maybe there from when they had their accident, like, say they fell off a chair and they're... grandma's kitchen, then if they smell their grandma's cookie smelling, they will, like, have, like, a freak attack.
Really? Anxiety.
Yeah.
Wow. And I know you, when you went back to school, did you have to have special accommodations? Like, and you then got an IEP.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have certain things done for you in school to help you get through school?
Well, in high school, I should have had certain things done for me, but I didn't.
Is that your choice or the school's?
Well, it wasn't anybody's choice. It was just that the teachers don't care, I think. And if they do care, they don't care enough to say something or to do anything about it. So. Like, I was supposed to get extra time for tests and stuff, and I was supposed to get extra time for assignments, and I was supposed to get, like, preferential seating in the room and stuff, but nobody ever did anything about that.
Hmm. But you went on to college, and you just graduated, right, and got your bachelor's?
Yes.
Bachelor's in what?
I have my bachelor's in human services because I want to be like an advocate for people with disabilities.
So you want to help kids that speak up for...
Yeah, because I want to be there and be like, listen, this kid needs this and they're not getting it. And all these other kids are making fun of them because they need it, but that's why they don't want to say anything that they need it.
Right, so you'd be sticking... Oh, that's awesome. Now... Are there any things you do to try to exercise your brain?
Yeah, there's a couple like online sites that I do. And there's this one game that I like. It's called Criminal Investigation, I think. And it's like a deductive reasoning thing. Like there'll be a murder done in the game. And then you have to like collect all the clues and then figure out who did it. And then the case that I was just on, there was like... around like this older thing with like some casino robbing, and then it was actually my partner who was the inside guy, like the mole, giving all the information to the robbers.
And that's a free app that you play?
Yes.
And it helps you keep your brain sharp?
Yeah.
And do you do that, like, do you have a routine or anything that you do try to like to make sure, like...
Yeah, usually after my breakfast, like I'll check my email, my Facebook, yada, yada, yada. Then I'll do my Lumosity, because it says to do it right after breakfast. Because that's when like, you're the most fresh, I guess.
Right.
And then I do my other brain games and all my daily stuff and my...
exercise. Or
yeah.
Well, that's great. And what do you feel is your biggest... what do you feel is the biggest challenge you face with living with TBI, but traumatic brain injury?
Well, I think that a lot, mostly, is that people don't understand. You know, like when if I do things slower, they think I'm just being a pain. But it's not. Like, I would give anything to be on the other side and not know what traumatic brain injury is.
And what advice would you give to someone that has traumatic brain injury?
I would tell them to never give up and don't listen to people who put you down, even if you think they're the people who should be there for you the most.
Can you give an example of that?
Like my parents, one time they told me, because I was having a really hard time with my math classes in college, they were like, you know, we should just give up. We shouldn't even do this anymore. Why are we putting ourselves through this? But you need to keep doing it, because if I hadn't, what would I do? What would I be doing right now?
Because you're a fighter.
I would probably, like, have some lame job at Office Depot or Home Depot and, like, putting labels on stuff instead of applying for a job for as an ESE teaching assistant.
Good for you. And what advice would you give to a parent raising a child with traumatic brain injury?
I would tell them that, like, when their child is doing things that maybe they think they're just making it up, like saying, oh, I'm so tired, I need a break or whatever, but give them a break because they need that break. And then also, like, behavior things. A lot of times 2 years is, like, a big mark for the traumatic brain injury recovery, because a lot of time, I know I did, I like totally had behaviors that freaked out. And I think it's because I couldn't like verbalize it and actually say it, and it wasn't being processed.
all your feelings?
Yes, like my feelings of being like left out of stuff and all these other things, like the world didn't wait for me and being upset about that, that I just was like, I'm done with it. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to try to jump out of the car. My mom's driving down the road. I'm going to put the car in park. My mom's driving down the road.
Wow.
So it's a lot of like anger things. You'll think your kid is angry. And my mom, she like at the time, because there was nothing, like no advice for her about this. Nobody told her about this, that this might happen. So she yelled at me a lot. But that does not help anything. So don't yell at your kid.
Did you have to go to counseling? I mean, how'd you work through it? How'd you get help to realize that this was going on?
Well, honestly, one of the doctors told my mom to send me to the Florida Institute for Neurological Rehab in Wauchula, Florida. Which, don't ever send your kid there. Seriously, honestly. It was horrible. And I was just like, honestly, so terrified of going back there that I just stopped being like that.
You just controlled yourself?
Yeah. And like, they got me on some medicine there. But then it was just like, I'm not going back there. I'm not doing this anymore.
I see. So when you, do you ever have times when you feel overwhelmed? I mean, everybody does, but I mean, do you have overwhelmed or things that are going on inside of you, like now that you have to, you know,
yes,
figure out how to?
Yes, big time. Yourself? Yeah, like a lot of times, this happens like a lot, like when I see people my age, like working or married, especially like on my Facebook page, when I see people who've gotten married or have kids now or have like big degrees and big jobs and are, like, I always say, oh, congratulations, but I wish you well. But I'm so jealous. And it, like, kills me inside so much. Like, I'm so jealous.
Well, do you think you can't ever get married?
Yeah, but now, like, my life is pushed back so much. Like, it shouldn't have taken me 8 years to get my 4-year degree.
So you're upset about that?
Yeah.
But at least you have a life.
Yeah.
Or is that not something you're supposed to say?
No, you know, that's something that, like, see, there's a lot of things that I've learned along the years that are not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Like that, I just said.
No, not necessarily that. Maybe that at times, but, like, how people will be like, oh, I know how you feel. No, you don't. You don't know how I feel. You don't know how a brain injured person feels. And even I don't know how another brain injured person feels.
Right, you just know how you feel.
Yeah. Or, like, oh, don't worry about that. Even I do that. Like, because I'm constantly tripping and almost falling on stuff. People are like, oh, I do that too. You don't, no, it's not, but it's not because your brain is messed up and your brain doesn't.
Right. So the balance. So balance is an issue as well?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And I think I had mentioned to you when I was talking that when I was researching to talk to you, I realized there was a lot of crossover between autism and brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
There's with balance, with sensitivity and even seizures and things like that. So I thought that, and behavior issues, mm-hmm. and communication. I thought that was interesting. There were so many crossovers. So tell us, I know you just kind of already said about the future goals and aspirations. So you are a graduate and
mm-hmm.
you're getting ready to go for a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
What's the future hold?
Well, I've applied for a lot of, like, ESC teaching assistant jobs, so I won't have to go to any more college for that, because I hope to get a job before I'm 80.
Before you're 80.
And I'm very looking forward to the day when I can change my Facebook status to actually having a job where it says occupation, instead of just bumming off my parents.
Oh, you're so funny. You crack me up. So, all right, is there anything else you would like to share? What's this month?
Just this month, March, is Brain Injury Awareness Month. So be aware.
Be aware and don't. And what would you say for people to do to, if you know somebody has a traumatic brain injury, treat them?
Yeah, just treat them like, because they're not stupid. I'm obviously not stupid, and most people with brain injuries are not stupid. I mean, some people are just stupid in general, so.
Oh, my God, you cracked up. So, no, just treat them. So, respect everybody.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, I think you are hilarious. You crack me up. I know there's several things I wish we could share. Some of those things that you told me have four-letter words that we can't. Or actually, they'll have three-letter words, but we can't share them. But thank you so much for sharing with us.
Of course.
This week, I hope you learned a little bit more about traumatic brain injury and that we are a lot more alike than we are different. And it's important to remember that. That's a quote by Brian Villagaloni. I hope I said his name right. I will include the links to the facts and statistics, as well as the links to the app Stephanie uses in her brain training exercises. We can all probably benefit from exercising our brains. I will attach the links in the post notes. I enjoyed speaking with Stephanie. She is quite a character and very funny. Some of the conversation we had prior to taping, well, she really had me cracking up. We are still debating if we should share a few of her one-liners because she used an explicative to defend herself in a bullying situation. Let's just say it's hilarious, and I'm definitely going to use it in my casual conversations. But for this podcast, I thought it would be better to keep it G-rated and family-friendly. We are, after all, a family show, right? I hope you all find this information interesting and valuable. Let me know. Send me a message, write me a comment. I can't wait to connect with you again next week. Until then, bye for now.